As they run through the jungle, the three friends' hearts are racing with fear. They can hear the T-Rex behind them, its roar growing louder and more menacing with every second. "We have to keep going," Darren yells above the din of their footsteps. "We can't let it catch us," the others nod in agreement, their faces set in determination. But as they run, the jungle seems to close in around them, the trees growing taller and the underbrush thicker. They stumble over roots and fallen branches, their footing unsure. Suddenly, Julie trips and falls, his leg twisted at an awkward angle. Carl and Darren stop dead in their tracks, frozen with fear. "No," Carl says, his voice barely above a whisper. "We have to get out of here, but it's too late." The T-Rex emerges from the underbrush, its eyes fixed on them with a cold, calculating gaze. "Run?" Darren yells, grabbing Julie's arm and pulling him up. Now, the three friends take off running again, their hearts pounding in their chests. They can hear the T-Rex behind them, its roar growing louder and more menacing with every second. As they run, the jungle seems to grow darker and more menacing, the shadows twisting and writhing around them like living things. They stumble over roots and fallen branches, their footing unsure. And then, just as all hope seems lost, they see a glimmer of light up ahead the entrance to the temple. "Keep going." Carl yells above the din of their footsteps. "We can make it." The three friends pour on the speed, their hearts pounding in their chests. They burst through the entrance to the temple, slamming the doors shut behind them just as the T-Rex crashes into it, its roar echoing through the temple like thunder. Breathless and exhausted, the three friends collapse against the wall of the temple, their eyes fixed on the door as if waiting for the T-Rex to break through at any moment. As they catch their breath, the three friends look at each other with a mixture of relief and fear. They know that they are not safe yet, the T-Rex could still break through the door or find another way into the temple. "I think we should barricade this door," Darren says, his voice hoarse from running. "We can't let it get in here," Carl nods in agreement, already moving to investigate the entrance and see if there's anything they can use to block the door. Julie, meanwhile, is still trying to process what just happened. He's been in some tough spots before, but this was different. This was primal. "I don't know how we're going to get out of here," Julie says, his voice barely above a whisper. "I really don't." Darren and Carl stop what they're doing and look at him with concern. "Hey, we'll figure something out," Darren says, trying to sound reassuring. "We always do," but Julie just shakes his head. He knows that this is different. This is a T-Rex, for crying out loud. They're not just dealing with some crazy person or some creepy monster, they're dealing with the force of nature. "I don't know if we can," Julie says again, his voice cracking with emotion. "I really don't think we can," the two others look at each other, and then back at Julie. They see the fear in his eyes, and it's like they're seeing it for the first time. "Hey, buddy," Carl says softly, putting a hand on Julie's shoulder. "We'll figure something out. We always do," but Julie just shakes his head again, his eyes welling up with tears. "I don't know if we can survive this," he says, his voice barely above a whisper. "I really don't think we can." The three friends stand there for a moment, the only sound being the heavy breathing of the T-Rex on the other side of the door. And then, without another word, they hear the sound of it starting to dig its way through the temple wall. As they make their way deeper into the temple, the three friends begin to feel a sense of unease. The air grows thick and heavy, and the shadows seem to twist and writhe around them like living things. "I don't know about this," Julie says, his voice barely above a whisper. Something feels off, but Carl is undeterred. He pushes forward, his eyes fixed on some unknown goal ahead. "We have to keep going," he says. "We can't turn back now," and so they press on, their hearts pounding in their chests. They round a corner and find themselves in a large, dimly lit room. And what they see makes their blood run cold. The room is filled with eggs. Thousands of them. And each one is covered in a thin, pulsing membrane that seems to shift and writhe like a living thing. "Jesus Christ," Darren says, his voice barely above a whisper. "What the hell is this?" But Carl doesn't hesitate. He walks forward, his eyes fixed on the eggs with an unnatural intensity. "These are facehuggers," he says. "I've seen them before." Julie's eyes widen in horror as he takes in a sight before him. He can feel the air growing colder, and he knows that they have to get out of here now. "We need to leave," Julie says, his voice shaking with fear. "Right now," but Carl doesn't move. He stands fixed by the eggs, his eyes burning with an unnatural intensity. "I've got to see this through," he says. "This is what we came for." And then, without warning, the eggs begin to hatch. The membranes burst open, and a swarm of facehuggers emerge, their eyes glowing with an otherworldly light as they run through the winding corridors of the temple. The three friends are pursued by a swarm of facehuggers. They twist and turn, trying to lose their pursuers, but it seems like no matter where they go, the creatures are always one step behind. "I don't know how much longer we can keep this up." Darren yells above the din of their footsteps. Those things are relentless, but Carl just keeps running, his eyes fixed on some unknown goal ahead. Julie and Darren struggle to keep up with him, their legs aching with exhaustion. And then, just when they think they've finally lost the facehuggers, they turn a corner and see something that makes their blood run cold. The T-Rex is waiting for them, its eyes fixed on them with an unnatural intensity. "Oh no," Julie says, his voice barely above a whisper. "Please tell me this isn't happening," but Carl doesn't hesitate. He charges forward, his fists clenched and ready to strike. And in that moment of chaos, the facehuggers see their chance. They swarm towards the T-Rex, their eyes glowing with an otherworldly light. The battle is intense, the sound of screams and roars echoing through the temple corridors. The facehuggers wrap themselves around the T-Rex's body, their tendrils pulsing with a deadly energy. And then, in a flash of insight, Carl realizes what he has to do. "Get back," he yells to his friends, his voice carrying above the din of battle. "Get away from me," and with that, Julie and Darren turn and run, leaving Carl to face the T-Rex alone. The creature charges towards him, its jaws open wide in a deadly snarl. But Carl doesn't flinch. He stands tall, his fists clenched and ready. The battle is fierce, the sound of bones crunching and flesh tearing echoing through the temple corridors. And then, just as it seems like all hope is lost, the T-Rex lets out a deafening roar and collapses to the ground. The facehuggers writhe and squirm on its body, their tendrils pulsing with an otherworldly energy. And in that moment of chaos, Julie and Darren turn back to see what has happened. "What did you do?" Julie asks, his voice barely above a whisper. But Carl just shrugs. "Whatever it takes," he says grimly. And then, with the T-Rex defeated and the facehuggers momentarily stunned, the three friends make their escape. They burst through the temple doors into the bright sunlight of the jungle beyond. And as they emerge from the shadows of the ancient structure, they feel a sense of relief wash over them. They've made it out alive. For now. But as they look back at the temple, they can't help but feel that they're not safe yet. The facehuggers will be back, and next time, there won't be any escape. They know that they can stay on the ground for long. The facehuggers will be back soon, and they don't want to get caught in the open. "Time to get creative," Carl says, eyeing the towering palms above them. "We're gonna have to build a treehouse from scratch," Darren grins, his eyes gleaming with determination. "I've got an idea how we can do it." He holds up his hammer-like arm. "Watch this," and with that, he begins to bang in nails, the sound echoing through the jungle as he constructs the framework for their treehouse. Julie joined him, using his karate chop to cut the wood into manageable pieces. Meanwhile, Carl sits back on a nearby rock, passing a joint of Ganu from the island and taking a hit. "You guys are doing great," he says, his eyes glassy with relaxation. "I'm just gonna chill out for a bit," as the sun begins to set, casting long shadows across the jungle floor, the three friends step back to admire their handiwork. The treehouse is ramshackle but sturdy, its branches reinforced with vines and leaves woven together like a natural ladder. "Whoa, that's actually kinda cool," Darren says, eyeing the structure proudly. "I didn't know I had it in me," Julie grins, his chest heaving with exhaustion. "You did great, bro." He looks up at Carl, who's still lounging on the rock. "Hey, man, you sure you're okay? You seem kinda spaced out," Carl snorts, taking another hit of Ganya. "Relax, dude, I'm fine, just enjoying the view," and with that, the three friends settle in for the night, the makeshift treehouse swaying gently in the breeze as they drift off to sleep, surrounded by the sounds of the jungle. The three friends are awoken in the dead of night by a sudden, eerie laugh echoing through the jungle. It's a low, menacing cackle that sends shivers down their spines. "What the?" Carl says, sitting up quickly and rubbing his eyes. "I know that voice," Darren whispers, his eyes wide with fear. "Only one thing makes that sound, Julie?" Carl asks, confusion etched on his face. "No, it's not Julie," Darren replies, his voice barely audible. "It can only be one thing," panic sets in as the three friends scramble to get out of their makeshift treehouse, trying to make sense of the strange noise. They are frozen with fear, unsure of what to do next. "Predator?" Carl whispers, his eyes darting around the treetops. Darren nods, his face pale. It has to be. The three friends huddle together, their hearts racing as they try to come up with a plan. The jungle is dark and foreboding, and they know they're not alone. "SHH," Carl says, holding up a hand for silence. "Do you hear that?" The faint rustling can be heard in the underbrush, growing louder with each passing second. The three friends hold their breath as the sound draws closer, paralyzed with fear as the rustling grows louder and a figure emerges from the shadows. It is the Predator, its cloaking device disabled, revealing its towering height and menacing presence. "Any time," the Predator repeats, its voice like a low, menacing purr. "You have been playing with the wrong toy." The three friends are frozen in terror, unsure of what to do next. The Predator's eyes glow like embers as it moves closer, its wrist blades gleaming in the moonlight. "I think we should get out of here," Carl whispers, trying to stay calm. "But where can we go?" Darren asks, his voice trembling with fear. The Predator takes a step closer, its hot breath washing over them. "You're not worthy opponents for me," it says, its voice dripping with disdain. "I will hunt you down like the animals you are." The three friends exchange desperate glances, knowing they have to act fast if they want to survive. "What do we do?" Carl asks, his eyes darting around frantically. Darren takes a deep breath and squares his shoulders. We make our stand, he says, determination etched on his face. We can run, the predator laughs again, its hot breath washing over them once more. Then let us play, it says, its eyes gleaming with anticipation. The three friends knew they had to act fast if they wanted to survive the wrath of the predator. They quickly surveyed their surroundings, taking stock of their meager supplies. Okay, we have our trusty machetes, Carl said, holding up his blade. And some leaves for camouflage, yeah, because nothing's as stealthy like a bunch of leaves stuck to your face, Darren quipped. And my karate chops. Julie added, flexing his muscles. The predator chuckled, its voice dripping with amusement. You think those puny weapons will save you? I'm the greatest hunter in the galaxy. Hey, we may not be the best warriors, Carl said, but we're resourceful, and we have a really good sense of humor, the predator raised an eyebrow. Humor? Huh, you think laughter will protect you from my wrath? Well, it's worth a shot, right? Darren said, grinning. And with that the battle began. Carl charged at the predator, swinging his machete wildly. The predator effortlessly dodged the attack and retaliated with its wrist blades. Whoa, nice moves. Carl exclaimed as he leapt out of the way just in time. Julie joined the fray, using his karate chops to try and take down the predator. But the alien's advanced technology proved too much for him, and it sent him flying across the clearing with a swipe of its wrist blade. Oh, that was a close one, Julie said, rubbing his sore head. Darren tried to get in on the action, using his leaves as a makeshift shield. Hey, predator, you're not the only one who can use camouflage, the predator chuckled again and swatted Darren's leaves away with its wrist blade. You are no match for me. As the battle raged on, the three friends found themselves getting more and more creative in their attempts to defeat the predator. Carl used his machete as a makeshift hockey stick, trying to deflect the predator's wrist blades back at it. Dooley attempted to use his karate chops to create a whirlwind of leaves around himself, hoping to confuse the predator. And Darren just kind of flailed around, making a lot of noise and not really doing much damage. Despite their valiant efforts, the three friends soon found themselves cornered by the predator. Okay, Carl said, holding up his hands in defeat. You win, we surrender, the predator approached them, its eyes gleaming with triumph. It is only fitting that you humans be my trophies, and with that, it reached out to grab them, but just as all hope seemed lost, Julie remembered the one thing they hadn't tried yet, making fun of the predator's outfit. Hey, predator, your outfit is really last season, isn't it? Darren said, grinning mischievously. The predator froze, its eyes narrowing in confusion. What do you mean? You know, leather and camo. It's like something a 90s action hero would wear, Carl added. The predator looked taken aback, its expression softening ever so slightly. I was trying to be fashionable. Julie seized the momentary distraction to make a break for it, using his karate chops to try and disarm the predator. And in a shocking turn of events, they managed to defeat the predator, sending it fleeing in embarrassment. As they caught their breath, the three friends grinned at each other. Well, that was a wild ride, Darren said, chuckling. Yeah, I guess you could say we unpredated the situation, Carl quipped. The three friends laughed, relieved to have emerged victorious from their battle against the predator. And as they walked away from the clearing, Julie turned back to glance at the fleeing alien. You know, maybe next time try a different fashion sense. As the three friends stepped off the island, they gazed out at the endless expanse of blue water stretching before them. The sea was calm, with only a few wispy clouds drifting lazily across the sky. All right, guys, Darren said, scratching his head. We need to get back through that portal in the Bermuda Triangle if we want to leave this island behind for good, but how? Carl asked, squinting at the horizon. It's not like we have a chopper just lying around here somewhere, Darren's face lit up with a mischievous grin. Get to the chopper, Carl and Julie looked at each other, confused. What are you talking about? Julie asked, shaking his head. We don't even know if there is a chopper anywhere nearby, Darren's grin faltered for a moment before he shrugged. Yeah, okay, maybe that was a bad idea, but we do need to get across the water to reach the portal. Carl's face brightened with understanding. I think I know what you're getting at, he said. We'll have to build a boat, Julie nodded, his eyes lighting up with excitement. Yeah, that makes sense. We can gather some materials from the jungle and construct something to get us across the sea. Darren's face fell, but only for a moment before he grinned again. That's the spirit, let's get building. The three friends worked tirelessly to build their boat, using materials they found in the jungle to construct a sturdy vessel. Finally, after days of hard work, it was ready to set sail for the Bermuda Triangle. As they headed into open water, the sea was calm and peaceful, with only a few wispy clouds drifting lazily across the sky. Carl, Julie, and Darren sat back in their boat, exhausted but relieved, as they made their way towards the triangle. But just as they thought they were making good progress, a pirate ship came into view on the horizon. The Jolly Roger flew high in the wind, and the three friends could see the figure of Jack Sparrow standing at the helm, his eyes fixed intently on them. Well, he said, his voice dripping with menace. What do we have here, a trio of landlubbers trying to sail into my territory? Darren stood up, a fierce determination in his eyes. We mean no harm, Captain Sparrow, he said. We're just trying to get through the Bermuda Triangle, Jack Sparrow cackled, his eyes glinting with amusement. Ah, but you're going to have to pay me for passage, he said. And I don't think you're willing to pay in gold or treasure with that. Jack Sparrow and his crew launched a barrage of cannonballs at the three friends' boat. The boys were forced to defend themselves, using whatever they could find on the boat to fight off the pirates. In the end, it was Carl who came up with the plan that saved the day. He grabbed a rope and lassoed Jack Sparrow out, pulling him overboard into the water. The pirates, leaderless and disorganized, quickly retreated, abandoning their ship and leaving the three friends victorious. As they sailed away from the pirate ship, Darren turned to his friends with a grin. I think it's time we celebrated, he said. I've got an idea. He pulled out a small bag of wheat that Jack Sparrow had left behind and handed it to Carl and Julie. What is this? Carl asked, eyes widening in surprise. It's pirate weed, Darren replied, grinning. And I think it's time we gave it a try. With that, the three friends let out, inhaling deeply as the sweet aroma of the weed wafted through the air. As they floated there, high and relaxed, the sea seemed to stretch out before them like an endless blue canvas. They laughed and joked, feeling carefree for the first time in weeks. Man, Carl said, his voice slurred with marijuana, this is the life. Julie nodded, his eyes glassy. Totally, dude, Darren just grinned, lost in the haze of the moment. This is what it means to be alive, he said. As they sailed through the Bermuda Triangle, the three friends couldn't help but feel a sense of unease. The air seemed to grow thick with an otherworldly energy, and the stars twinkling above began to blur together in a maddening dance. Carl, Julie, and Darren exchanged nervous glances, their hearts pounding in unison as they felt themselves being pulled towards some unknown destination. Finally, after what felt like an eternity, the boat emerged from the triangle and into a new place. The air was crisp and clean, with a faint scent of salt and seaweed wafting through the air. As they looked around, the three friends couldn't help but feel a sense of déjà vu. The landscape seemed familiar, yet something wasn't quite right. The buildings were slightly askew, the trees twisted in ways that defied nature's laws. What's going on? Julie asked, his voice barely above a whisper. This place looks like I don't know, it's like I've been here before. Carl shook his head, confusion etched on his face. Me too, he said. But how is this possible? Darren frowned, his eyes narrowing as he scanned their surroundings. We must have traveled through some kind of wormhole or something, he said. But where are we now? The three friends exchanged wary glances, unsure of what to make of their surroundings. But as they looked around at the strange, twisted landscape, they couldn't help but feel a sense of unease growing within them.